This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Tom Nugent with the crown topic of the day. And it's really been both BT, Mets and Yankees, hot stove, offseason, free agency, and it starts with Juan Soto. We talked about Brian Cashman's comments yesterday. I just feel like Cashman doesn't get it as far as what was wrong with this Yankees team. But if we just move it fast forward here, and Scott Boras is speaking right now, so there is some news on that where he's just using his corny, stupid, lame jokes about his free agent. I got to be honest with you. As much as I want Soto for both the Yankees and the Mets from each perspective, Scott Boras is just such a turnoff. I'd be like, look, I'll give you $800 billion if you dump this guy. Or $800 million, whatever it may be. I can't stand.
Well, he's not in his prime anymore. Yeah. Look at Garrett Cole. Look at the last offseason. He's going to cash in with Soto, but he's not. He doesn't have the power he once did.
And he's only cashing in with Soto because of his age. And
that's what I mean.
Yeah, right. Like, it's not because of anything he does. I guarantee he's butchered these things. Let's see what he does with Alonso and Bregman and the likes of that. But I think from a Yankee perspective, they need Juan Soto and then some. And from a Mets perspective, they cannot afford to not sign Juan Soto. So that's what makes it so fascinating.
It's going to be very interesting game. We knew we were going to come to this point, you and I, and others, but you and I were really, really up and ahead of this for the past year or so, knowing we'd get to this point. We had a lot of fun last year at this time because the Jets and the Giants were both dead, kind of like now. And although the Jets went on Sunday, it should be pretty
good.
You know, I'm not all the way out
there. I'm looking forward to getting into that Friday.
Me too. It's a huge game against the Cardinals, but with all the energy we spent on Yamamoto, and he didn't choose either one of these teams, this is different. I strongly believe he's staying in New York. You believe that he's staying in New York. I believe he's going to stay with the Yankees. Not completely convinced, obviously. I know that the Mets pose a real threat. Cohen has more money than anybody. Who really knows what he's thinking? He's kept that protected all year. And the Mets will be aggressive. But the bottom line is, while it's going to be fun and crazy, and there's going to be some smoke screens and false alarms all over the map as to what he might do and what he's, and then maybe a third wild card team, some variable we didn't expect pops up, and then it's refuted. Like, this is going to be a wild ride, so strap in. But what I know about both of these teams, if the Yankees keep Soto, they better not be done. And if the Mets get Soto, they better not be done.
And the Yankees, so they're dealing with different financial situations. Not only do the Mets have the richer owner, but the Mets are in a better spot financially with their payroll, which is why there's really no excuse for them. But there shouldn't be an excuse for the Yankees either. And there's this thought process. You and I have talked about this, BT, over the last couple of weeks. And it's like, you know what? On second thought, maybe they'd be better off letting Soto go because they have many holes to fill. But that's not... Like, you can't let Juan Soto go. You brought him here for a reason. It wasn't a coincidence that you got back to your first World Series in 15 years having the Soto and Judge tandem. They should be looking to keep that intact and build with that being the case. I don't know if they can or they will, but that's what they should be doing. And if I'm the Mets, I do whatever I can to go add Juan Soto to their team. And then you're right, build out. But again, the Mets have much better financial flexibility, so they should be in a better spot.
Yeah, now again, the Yankees shedding Gleyber Torres' money, which would have been about 20.1 this year, I believe, with the qualifier. Gone, Rizzo, gone, you know, Clay Holmes. Not that I'm looking to get rid of Clay Holmes, but he'll probably be gone. $6 million there. Yeah, it's going to be interesting how this offseason is broached by, obviously, both teams here, but specific to the Yankees, whose roster construction is not ideal. I think we know that. But Sal, when I ask you, and this is not to diminish Soto, he's one of the greatest tacticians and executors of an approach in baseball that I've ever seen. Honestly, it's next level. It's like savant-like. But if I said, Sal, like, big picture, what are the two things that plagued the Yankees the most this year? And we've talked about this. Like, what two aspects of baseball
Base
really
running
and...
Yeah.
and defense.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah.
And he's bad at both of them.
All right.
So when people say, and you've said this, that you can't envision a brighter tomorrow with Juan Soto, I say, no, no, no. I don't see that way at all. Now, I want to keep Soto because I want to see him in front of Judge for the next 5 years in Aaron's prime, of course. But if they are among, and it's proven this way, the worst base running and worst defensive teams in baseball, and Juan Soto only compounds that problem, which analytically provable he does, then there are other ways for the game. It's going to be less sexy. Yeah. I know it's going to be less sexy. There's other ways to get better.
Right, but what made them so dangerous is also postseason play with Juan Soto. Every at-bat that he takes, you know, he's proven in the postseason. There's still question marks about other guys on that team. I also don't think, like, yeah, while the Yankees had some issues, obviously, base running and defense, to me, it's not just that. It's a lack of just playing baseball the right way, whether it's situational hitting, running the bases hard, moving guys over. Like, there's a difference between getting thrown out at home, which they did quite a bit, not being able to score from second base on a base hit, and also just not being aware on the base paths, taking the extra base, running hard,
taking
hard.
A lead at first base. I mean, John Smoltz was saying in the World Series, basically, Soto, you're a foot off the bag.
Right.
And then that was talked about how the Dodgers knew they had the smallest leads in base. I mean, lead, that's the most basic part. Get your primary, look at the back foot. If it disengages from the rubber, blah, blah, you know how to read a move. And if he's throwing home, get your secondary. They didn't even do it.
Yankees need more all-around ball players, and I don't know how they could do that with bringing back Juan Soto if Hal is going to stick to his restrictions. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name-brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joe is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, BT and Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Joe.
I think I got an idea of what we can do with Cashman. I think there's an opening in London for ambassadorship.
Woody's already first in line. Woody's going back. Going back with Trump. Well, absolutely. Well, you know, he's going back.
So what does that mean for the Jets?
That means Chris's brother's going to run it.
Oh, boy.
That's not encouraging. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, no, I'm just...
You want to get rid of Cashman, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm concerned about some of the moves that he's made in the past, and I don't know if he's... He's, you know, gone with the times. Like,
that's fair.
He seems stuck in, you know, stuck in the old days. I think he, you know, these new.
No, you wish he was stuck in the old days. I think that's part of the problem, Joe. And thank you for the call. Cashman to me is opposite of the old day Yankees, where he's getting caught up in the power of the guys that he's trying to bring in, as opposed to can they play baseball. Joey Gallo, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, even Juan Soto to a certain extent. And again, I know that these guys, some of them, certainly Soto, do more than just provide power. But think about the players that Cashman has brought in and think about what their main skill set has been, as opposed to having well-rounded baseball players. I feel like he continues to get caught up in the same type of player year in and year out. It took him forever to figure out that he needed a lefty. And then even when they do that, it's not the right ones. And now maybe he's realizing he needs some athleticism, which is why they go get Jazz. But he's always behind. It's like he's always chasing. I wish he would have a little more old school in him.
Well, I mean, listen, let me ask you this. Do you think that regardless of your age or how dug in you are to something that, you know, most people can prove to be somewhat more adaptable than maybe they're given credit for?
Yeah, you have to evolve.
You have to evolve, right? And that's my answer as well. And I use Tom Coughlin, who evolved from a personality perspective. They didn't coach differently, but from a personality perspective, he's like, all right, it's a little bit of a new day, and I've got to treat these young men, these young athletes differently. And he did, right? He didn't sacrifice his football morals, but he evolved here. Tom Thibodeau. Now, I think Tom Thibodeau as well has certainly changed. Now, he still grinds players in terms of minutes, but he's embraced the three-point. I said this a month ago. He's embraced the three-point shot. I think he's a little more flexible, have a little more affable, you're going to have a little more fun, more pleasant work environment. And I think, too, Brian Cashman is in the early stages of adapting. I do. Now, that's not going to be enough here. But the fact that, and it wasn't just his decision, but the Torres move, and I just think no matter what he says, that's why I said this out at the start of the show two-plus hours ago. I know what he's saying. I care what he does. Hey, we have a new president, right? Every politician on every side of the aisle, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do, and they pretty much lie to our faces. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Do it. And now I think that Brian Cashman got the memo because he was embarrassed. And not just by Judge's pop-up, which is just, it's never going to happen again. That's just unfortunate. But the things that the Dodgers, he could say, well, Joe Kelly, you know, that's just really an isolated thing. And I know a lot of Dodger people and they don't really think that way. It doesn't matter. That's what's being said about your team that looked awful and ill-prepared and inadequate in so many aspects of basic buttoned-up elements of baseball. So I think that he knows. Now, I don't know if he, I think he's going to try to change. Does he have the inner tools to actually execute it? I don't know. He's going to have to lean on some more baseball people. I think he's willing to change. I really do.
I think he thinks we're making too big a deal of it because look at the results. His team was in the ALCS a couple years ago in the World Series this year. Hoff, you have something else from Boris that you said you wanted to add?
Yeah, according to a source, Scott Boris was asked about Pete Alonso. There's been a lot of talk about his being a this being a bear market for a first baseman.
Oh, God.
But for Pete's sake, it's the polar opposite.
No, he didn't say that, did he?
For Pete's sake, polar. It's the polar opposite.
Hey, polar bear. So cute, Scotty.
Oh, my God.
He's so
actually, I want to vomit. I mean, that.
I don't think that's real, but that's.
Oh. Well,
oh, you made it up?
I'm looking at the source now. I think it's a fake one, but it fits really well.
Come on, dude.
By the way, the sad part is I thought 100% it was
real. So
did real.
I. Like, would you get ball sacked? Where'd you get that from? Honestly.
I might as well. I don't know who it was.
Oh, come on, Hoff.
Dude.
I mean, it does sound like a Boris.
It does, yeah.
Imagine this guy doing the news last night.
Yeah.
It'd be the exact opposite.
Oh, I gave you the one on Bregman. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, is that real?
One
yes,
for two.
That was for the Bregman was real. No, yes.
We sure about that?
He was an infusion of blood. He's AB positive.
Oh, my God.
That was real.
Yeah. David is in Oakhurst. What's up, David?
Yeah, hi. You know what I think a lot of people don't understand, and I don't think you guys are getting it either. You know, okay, I've watched baseball before free agency. And, you know, it used to be you come in and the owner, George especially, you know, they put the money out and they just, and they get put money out the next year for another free agent. And then Bud Selig came in and he turns around and he adds luxury tax. And then there's luxury tax and luxury tax. And then they say, well, now you've gone three years over. Well, we're going to take your international draft picks.
But so what are we not getting? Go ahead.
The problem is you're screwing your team if they take away draft picks and stuff. It's not just giving money out.
We understand that. I know.
Well, that's why teams don't necessarily, well, they used to, you know, would you, like George.
Yeah.
You know, George would just spend the money, no problem.
Yeah.
It was just his money. He wasn't having to put out luxury tax money.
I understand.
He wasn't having to lose. So, but that's different now. So teams have to look at that differently.
Okay. Yeah, but they could look at it differently, you know, and also look at how the Dodgers did it. How did the Dodgers get every star known to man then on their team? I don't care if it's deferrals or not. Oh, sorry, David. Thank you for the call. Thought we were done there. But if the Dodgers could do it, and then so what? The Mets and Yankees could do it. By the way, the Mets have a lot of money coming off, so I'm not even saying go over the third level of the Cohen tax, the new rule that they put in there. Yeah, the Mets and Yanks have gotten screwed by these luxury tax thresholds now that are being put in there.
Sure.
But figure it out. Figure it out. You're still ahead of the curve. Like, at least the Mets and Yankees have a shot here. The Yanks can sign Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole and bring in Juan Soto. You know, and potentially re-sign him and have John Carlson and Carlos Rodon. Like, it's not like they can't. Oh, what are we supposed to do? Other teams can't even do that. So we're just asking, at least from me, for the Mets perspective, go get the big fish in Juan Soto and then build out the rest of the team without being reckless, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Yankees, I mean, if you want to win, then you have to bring back Soto and do more. That's just the case. Like, there's no other way around it. Yeah, it's not my fault you gave out a bad, you made a bad trade for John Carlos Stanton and gave out a bad contract for Carlos Rodon. Like, that's, then you're either going to eat it and not be any good, or you're going to overspend to try to make up for it now.
Well, let's not miss the target here. The reason why, and this impacts both teams, the reason why both the Yanks and the Mets, and number one, he's a great player, but the reason why the Yanks and the Mets are going to be active this winter is because they haven't drafted and they haven't developed well enough. I mean, in the World Series, you watch the Yankees, you know, throw out a 35-year-old first baseman with basically two busted fingers, a bad back, hasn't hit a home run since June, and can't move on a 59-mile-per-hour exit velocity grounder from Mookie. So, they didn't draft him, they didn't develop him. Torres was obviously somebody else's property to start with Chicago, but, you know, and he's gone. Volpe, he's here. Yeah, your third baseman, you had to make a trade for him. Your right fielder, had to make a trade for him. Your left fielder, you made a move. You got Verdugo. Your ace, Garrett Cole, had to sign him at free agency. Your second best pitcher, in theory,
$18 million a year for Stroman, who didn't even see the field
Stroman,
in the postseason.
Yeah, correct. So all these deficiencies that have been bubbling beneath the surface for the Yankees for a long time, and even more so for the Mets because they've been worse, it's coming to roost now. And now the way you end the cycle is, and you start to see a little with Wells and Volpe, and obviously, hopefully, Acuna's the real deal, and Vientos is terrific, and Mauricio. That's how you change. And then you enhance a good roster with one massive addition via free agency. You don't buy the whole team that
right.
way.
One thing I think the Mets have, first of all, it has changed now with Stearns. Now, you're right about like drafting. Ultimately, we'll see where they're at, but they're in a much better spot, the Mets are now, than they were 3, 4, 5 years ago. Like, I think they've already started to turn on that. The other thing is the depth in the Mets organization, even at the major league level, to where they didn't have to field the lineup with Jahmy Jones and J.D. Davis.
Yeah.
Lead off and clean up. Like, think about that. The Yankees, with their payroll, with all their stars, Brian Cashman built a team that had to field in the Subway Series, meaningless or not, whatever it is in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Jahmy Jones and J.D. Davis lead off and clean up. Like, that's unacceptable. The Mets didn't even do that this year. So to me, that shows roster construction flaws. Man, that's just,
I think I'd say more organizational flaw.
There you go.
Because I think
whatever,
it's a trickle, okay. You know, it's a downstream thing.
Fine.
But it's deeper than just the 40-man roster or the 25 on a given night.
And maybe it's bad investing at the top end, whether it's Rodon, Stroman, LeMahieu, Stanton. Like, think of all these guys. Would you give, if you just played this game real quick, would you do the LeMahieu deal over again, yes or no?
No.
Would you do the Marcus Stroman deal over again, yes
no.
or no? Giancarlo Stanton.
No.
Carlos Rodon.
I'm okay with it. I'm not loving it, but I'm okay with it.
Even with the pitching being the way that it is?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. He did win 16 games, basically 200 strikeouts, and had a sub-4 ERA, so let's not overstate how bad he was. I can't trust him when it matters most, but
no. You
need guys like that to get you to 90-something wins to get to the playoffs.
But I'm talking about committing that much money.
Yeah, it's not crazy.
Best. Well, look at what the Mets did with Sean Manaea this year. And Luis Severino.
Yeah, but now you got to make sure you retain him.
Well,
I promise you're going to pay Sean Manaea some real money.
Or they're going to go out and find the next value.
You better hope that but there's no guarantee that if you get Walker Buehler, Walker Buehler wins 16 games and has two Tommy Johns. Yeah. I mean, Carlos Rodon is far from perfect. He takes the baseball every 5 days, makes 30-something starts.
Understood.
So I'm okay with Rodon. I don't love him, but I'm okay with him.
But the big commitment to him, and you're also not getting what you thought you were getting in him. Point is, it's a lot of money that the Yankees have spent, and they're not getting a good return on the investment.
Well, I'm not going to push back on this. The first names you asked me, they were easy.
Yeah.
No. You know, like Rodon, I'm going to push back on. But the first couple were simple. I don't say that that's an erroneous statement. The reason why the Yankees are, hey, this goes back to even, and I remember, I'm like, but who did they pick up? What's the dude's name? Odor?
Rougned Odor?
Yeah, I remember a couple of years when they got him, and then they got Rizzo, and I was happy when they got Rizzo, because Rizzo was a very good player, borderline Hall of Famer for the Cubs. But I remember when they got Odor, and they basically put him right in the middle of the order right away. Why? Not because he was amazing, but because they had no lefty batters besides Brett Gardner.
By the way,
that's malpractice. Your right field fence is 314 feet away.
Even this year, like, I like Austin Wells, not as much as you, but I like Austin Wells. He shouldn't be the cleanup hitter. Verdugo, leadoff, cleanup, drop tonight.
Yeah. Like,
think about...
Yeah, a lot of volatility because they didn't have enough definitive answers. I agree.
For a team that has Judge, Soto, and Stanton, and yet still all these... It just shows you, to me, they have not built this team the right way. BT and Sal on the Fan, more your calls when we come back. By the way, Hoff did confirm that was an accurate Boris quote on the Alonzo, which makes sense. So you didn't get ball sacked. We're good to go with that.
Yeah.
Right, Hoff?
It was still a terrible quote, though.
Yeah, well, that's the point. We knew that it was Boris. Like, if he didn't write that, somebody else would have. And he must have a writer. It's just pathetic. All right. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls here. Talking Mets, Yanks, free agency, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. When do the Knicks play their next game, BT?
Dude, it's insane that you just said that. I swear to God, I was just thinking to myself, When are the Knicks playing again?
Yeah, they played Monday, obviously. We saw that. We talked a little bit. Did we even get into it? They played tonight against, Atlanta. They're in Atlanta tonight. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like the way they played in Houston. That was ugly.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, they fought back in that game. People getting worked up about the Knicks. They're going to be fine.
They're 3-3. I know it's early and they've got to gel, but they're 3-3.
Early on, they're in action tonight. Look at their schedule here coming up. I'm trying to look to see if they play a home game. We got to get out there. They do play the Bucks Friday night. Knicks play a lot of home Friday night games.
I like it.
Friday night Knicks at Indiana. Next week.
That'll be fun. I've noticed the last bunch of years the Knicks have a lot of 5 and 6 p.m. Sunday night home games, which by this time of the year, the Jets and the Giants are usually done, so it doesn't matter. But I don't think that's just strategically a smart play.
So tonight,
against football.
Tonight, 7:30. Yep. Friday night, 7:30. Sunday at Indiana, 5 p.m.
I'll be watching the Jets.
Yeah, it's up against the Jets. Come on, man. I hate that, too.
And then at Philly. How about the mess with Philly?
Yeah,
with
I know.
Embiid?
Yeah, come on. Dude.
Even George has been banged up. He just got back.
Oh, George and Embiid. What could go wrong? No, maybe this will be the year for the 76ers. They play the Nets on Friday the 15th. That's home at the Garden. They actually play them back-to-back. How about that?
Back-to-back and both at home. Generally, it's usually
that's
don'ts.
Weird. That's weird. All right, anyway, I think it's still early. I'm happy with what I've seen so far from the Knicks for the most part. Here's the other thing. I know you don't want to hear this, and we'll get back to the calls your baseball was, but just to give a quick note on the hoops.
Yeah.
They miss Mitchell Robinson. Like, a part of this roster construction is with the idea that they're going to have Mitch under center, in the middle, under the rim, rebounding the ball and being a rim protector. When that happens...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whenever it is that he comes back healthy here and hopefully stays healthy, they are going to be loaded because they'll have that defensive rim protector, rebounder. You can move Karl Anthony Towns to the 4.
Yep.
You got Bridges. They're loaded up. Anunoby, Jalen. Like, the Knicks are loaded. Josh Hart is still doing his thing.
Yeah.
Deuce didn't have a good game in Houston.
No, he was horrible. Yeah, but I love these.
But still,
terrific.
He'll be a good player. They brought in Matt Ryan. What do you think of him?
He can shoot. Yeah. He's a sharpshooter. I mean, listen, even though we don't really talk about it that much on the air, though, we will always give you some Knicks stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'm all over the Knicks. I'm not missing much here. And I saw a stat the other night where Bridges is shooting 50%. Now, him and Anunoby were one of two players in the NBA that shot above 40% from 3 from the corner with X amount of takes. Mm-hmm. Like, there was some quirky stat, but obviously highlighting their shooting prowess from the corners. Right now, Bridges, there was a lot of talk about his shot being jacked up. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Especially after the opening night or the first half of opening night.
Yeah, against the Celtics. Yeah. And then he hit a couple of easy bunnies and he got loose a little bit. But he's shooting 56% from the corners. No, I hear you on Mitch. I do. I to an extent. But the last game that they lost against the Rockets, they didn't lose because of defense. They lost because they scored 97 points. They got 3 points from their bench. I mean, their bench is a big problem. Right. It's actually a massive issue. And even the Cavaliers game going back to Monday, a couple days before Halloween, they gave up 110 points, which is not great, but it's not some crazy number. They lost because they didn't really score. So I get it. It's early. I'm not going nuts. But I did say going into the season, number one's going to take some time, but the bench is a problem. They are going to miss DiVincenzo. They already do. I know you had to give him up to get Carl Anthony Towns, but 3-3 through 6, I'm not exactly enthralled with 3 wins after 6 games.
Yeah, they could fix the bench. I'm loving watching Carl Anthony
the bench?
Towns. Yeah, they'll fix it.
How?
Well, when Mitchell Robinson comes back, that's going to send somebody to the bench.
And by the way, when is he coming back? He's not coming back till January.
All right. Well, that's when it matters. I mean, it's basically like exhibition right now. The regular season in the NBA doesn't even matter.
This is supposed to be a friendly exhibition.
And in the postseason, they're not going to the bench that often anyway. You can ride these guys.
And listen, you still want to win 55, 56 games and host a lot of series. You want that game 7 here. I'm not saying you're going to be the one seed, but you better be the two seed.
Artie is calling from Rockland. What's up, Artie?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen, I called mainly to talk about Glaber, but I have two other quick points. Aaron Judge never brings his bat to October for the Yankees. He finally finds his bat the last couple of games. What does he do? He loses his glove. That was ridiculous. Second point, Dominguez should be in center field for the next 10 years. He's not a left fielder. I played center field at a very high level. I was a terrific center. You put me in left or right, I wasn't the same outfit.
Hold on, wait. The obligatory, where'd you play center field, Artie? Very high level being what? Just curious.
I played in the same league that Rod Carew. I'm 75 next month.
Okay.
And Ken Singleton, the Bronx Federation.
Oh, so you played over at McCombs. McCombs.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
McCombs,
I got you.
Frankie Frisch.
I got you.
Harris Field.
That's good ball.
I was an outstanding outfield.
This would be a good time for me to take my daily nap
By the way, Artie, I've heard this from my dad. I got it. I know the league back in the day. Artie can play a little bit.
Gleyber Torres. He was an idiot. He was horrible. I couldn't stand him. He got spoken to. He got benched. He got put in the leadoff position. He's one of the main reasons we got the number one seed and we got to the World Series. What were you guys looking at the last 2 months of the season and the postseason? He turned it around. He wasn't Glaber anymore.
Well, that's where I fall asleep.
No, he was.
He wants to be a Yankee. He's probably crying like Wilmer Flores did when the Mets tried to trade him. He loves the Yankees. He would have given them a hometown advantage.
Then how about he takes his head out of his ass while he's playing?
He did.
No, he didn't, Artie, and thank you for the call. Did you watch game one? Like, you're not wrong, Artie. In two aspects. Number one, Gleyber Torres does love being a New York Yankee. I really do think, like, Gleyber's going to go somewhere else. I think it was Heyman today that said, like, maybe he'll go to the Royals to be a leadoff hitter there. It was the article that had Adames in it, so I think it was Heyman. But Gleyber will go somewhere, and he's just not going to be happy. And he's probably not going to be the same player productively offensively, which, by the way, he didn't have a good year offensively.
No, he had two good months.
Yeah, right. Now, it was important months in the postseason.
I'm not trying to minimize it,
because
but
maybe without Gleyber, maybe they don't beat the Royals or the Guardians. Who knows?
I hear you. That's true.
He was that impactful offensively in those series and down the stretch for them. So that did help. But it's everything else with him that's the problem. That's been going on for years. They need to move on from Gleyber Torres.
They're going to. Don't even waste that.
There's no way he's back.
But I want to make one point about Torres playing somewhere else. Like, now, I always wish that Boone would have held him more accountable and whatever. It doesn't matter. He's gone
this year.
Yeah, but then when you do the same stuff, how effective is the bench?
Yeah,
that's why I've always said, I'm sure that Boone is trying to coerce more hustle and intelligence out of some of these players, but when they don't show it, then how effective is the coercing? That's been my only gripe, my main gripe with Boone until he really had a bad managerial series in the World Series. But think about how much we've railed on Torres. It's never been personal, but what we've said and others on this station, if he wasn't, forget about Boone motivating him, if he wasn't motivated by every night 35, 40,000 people in the Bronx holding him to a certain standard of effort, what, all of a sudden on a Tuesday night in May in Kansas City when there's 16,000 people, he's going to start busting ass?
No.
There's no chance.
It's going to go the opposite way.
That's what I think.
Yeah, it's hard to even put the proper description on what Gleyber does. Like, you hate to say, well, he's lazy or there's a lack of effort. Because, you know, to everybody's account, well, he's a good kid and he does mean well and he's trying to be a player. His head's not in the game. There's no passion there from Gleyber Torres. Maybe that's the best way to say it. He does not play with passion. And again, BT, coming fresh off of watching these World Series of yesteryear and these, you know, the Game 7 series or the comeback in 2004, watch how the Yankees play. And even 2004 was past their dynasty. Watch how they play the game with passion. Watch how the ballplayers in the 80s played with reckless abandon and passion. And then watch this current iteration of the Yankees play. And certainly with Gleyber Torres, not to mention some of the others, there's no passion there from Gleyber. Just talent. And that's not good enough.
That is, I've always told you that, like, a lack of passion, or more specifically, a lack of respect for immense physical traits, frustrates me more than anything. Because, you know, it just, if you were given those gifts by God, I think anybody who played high school or college, and this is a little personal for me, because I wasn't nearly good enough to go anywhere. I've always said, I just wasn't. But man, I wish I was. And I tried to. And I see others who were given so many prodigious athletic traits, and when they don't respect them or respect them to the level that I think that they should be respected and protect them, you lose me. I will never defend you. That's defensible. That's indefensible. because you've gotten everything from God, and you choose. Like, I didn't choose to be slow. I was just slow.
Right.
Certain players, and not just him, they choose not to go all out, and I'm not with it.
JC's calling from Pearl River. What's up, JC?
Hey, guys.
No.
Hey,
well,
how you doing? Hey, it's been a while.
Where have you been?
I've been working like a madman and, you know, taking care of the kids, divorce, all that.
Yeah,
all that
I got everything stuff. Okay? Everything all right on that end?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no, everything's good. Everything's good. Good. The last time we spoke, actually, as a matter of fact, real quick, I was talking to you guys about the Facebook fan page that other shows have. You guys didn't have one. I said someone should start one. So later that day, I started one. Now we're up to like over 1,000 members.
Wow. And 1,000 critiques, I'm sure.
Yeah, there you go. More than that.
we'd be at like the Boomers page has like 10,000. Evan and Tiki have around that amount too. But we're working our way up. I get a lot of requests every day to add.
All right.
Get some spicy conversation. It's cool.
There you go. Nice.
So real quick, I know I'm an older guy, but like the money thing, Sal, I do have to disagree with you there. Also, BT, I disagree. You got to use your blinker all the time.
Yeah, no, I hear it. He's a cop too, so Sal, I get it.
I disagree about the money though, Sal, just because I know we live in a world where money is going to always go up, but as somebody that works their ass off every day, the amount, like, I don't feel that these athletes have to get paid astronomically more every year when the people that ultimately pay their salaries and justify the sport don't get those same raises.
So wait, what do you disagree with? Because we're not talking about like who deserves it or whatever. We're just talking about to make the team better, you're going to have to spend. So please explain where you mean you disagree with me.
Well, so in the 80s, right? I know it's a while ago, but still, Don Mattingly was the highest paid player for like a minute, and he had like $2 million.
I think he had a $20 million deal, Donnie, when he signed that, yeah?
Yeah, at the time, a fairly well-paid professional made like $100,000. You know, not rich, but, you know, fairly well paid. That's 20 times difference. Now, for a $50 million player, which I don't think Soto is, I like him, and I'm with you, BT, at a certain point, I don't want him. I'm nowhere near the 13 years, though. I would say, I mean, the money is ridiculous. I understand he's young, so that justifies the years. But the money is just way too much, and it cripples what you can do with the team.
Yeah.
$50 million means that a well-paid professional makes $2.5 million a year in the same, you know, in the same
Well, it's not. It's not so, the same. And the money's gotten out of control, JC. And thank you for the call. Good
thanks,
to hear
man.
From you again.
Yeah,
good luck
you,
with
dude.
That Facebook page. It's not. The money has gotten. It's gotten ridiculous. And yep. I don't care about like what we make. What I'm not talking about you and I. I'm talking about us as like normal society versus.
Yeah, I got
the baseball players. It's gotten to a point where it's just so absurd.
Yeah.
That like we're talking about $700-800 million players here. A contract for $700 million for Shohei Ohtani, for Juan Soto potentially $650 million. So who knows? That's absurd. $500 million for one player. But when you look at it, even the average players are going to get 20, 25 million, maybe 30 million a year.
Yeah,
that's a going rate. That's what it is.
Well, think about this, and I just popped this up. I don't want to mess up these numbers. The percentage of Americans making $75,000 a year.
Right.
Is 75,000 or more is like 12, well, 75 basically to 100 is 12%, all right?
At what point do you think the bubble bursts here?
Athletes?
Well, just in general, because think about it. If that's what the majority of people are making or less than that, whatever it may be.
I don't even know that that's the majority.
Okay, but the players.
Like, that's not the starting salary, but this is important. Okay. That's not the starting salary for like a policeman first 5 years or FDNY or EMT or teacher first 5 years before you get tenure. It's below 75,000.
Okay, but to JC's point, right, if you're paying Juan Soto $50 million a year, let's just say argument's sake, and the Yankees are fielding a team that's worth over $300 million on the team and the luxury tax and all that stuff, well, guess what? Ticket price is going to go up. If the Mets sign Juan Soto, guess what? Ticket price is probably going to go up. And the ticket price is already, to me, as somebody who grew up going to games for like $20, maybe you can get an upper level seat for $6.
I know.
And there's 81 games. Like, it shouldn't be. And I was looking a couple years ago, like, what? Mets Marlins in May to sit field level is like $200. I was like, what are you kidding me? Maybe for the Garden, but for a regular season baseball game. Point is, if the players are getting $50 million a year and the fans are going to be asked to pay a lot more, but they aren't making the same amount. Like, it's how do you, at some point the bubble's going to burst. Like, you just can't afford to, I don't care how good they are, you can't justify paying somebody $50, $60 million a year if you're raising the ticket prices and nobody's going to these games.
Yeah, I mean, the disconnect is real. And I think if you go back to history and through history, you know, one of the reasons why they say the 50s and the 60s was like the golden age of baseball, not just because you had, you know, Mantle and obviously Willie Mays and the Dodgers and three teams here and all the other names, of course, that we know, Hank Aaron, et cetera. But there was more of a relatability, more of a relatability where, you know, you literally had guys chopping down Christmas trees or, you know, doing some sort of physical labor just to kind of piece together the gaps in the winter so that they can make their situation more economically whole and sustainable. Now, it doesn't matter if you are a colossal failure. You are so distanced from the average American in terms of salary. I'm not saying that you shouldn't make a lot more. You should. And I'm not one to say, well, everything's got to be. No, you get what you earn.
Right.
That's it. All right. But when I think to answer your question, like when does it burst? I don't think it bursts until the product becomes bad. I think that fans will be tolerant. Like if the Yankees have a $373 million payroll and the Mets are $409 next year. Let's say they go bonkers, right? And both teams stumble. Then you're going to see a reaction and a kickback and a disregard for the product and a distancing of the product. If they win, then I think people will reach into their pocket and they won't complain, even though they know it's exorbitantly out of whack.
But don't you think we've seen it burst to a certain extent in baseball free agency? Like, we're only talking about Soto. Think about it. Ohtani and Soto are two, like, you may never see this again in our lives. Ohtani, we've never seen it before, the guy who could pitch and hit like that. And a lot of that contract is based off deferrals. With Soto, maybe we're overshooting it, saying $650 million, who knows, but it's also because of his age.
Well, Bryce Harper was young.
Yeah, well, I know, but they
so that's
got a lot.
Happened
but,
before
but again,
a little
what,
bit.
Were the, what were those contracts? $300 million?
I think he got 13 years, Bryce.
Yeah, okay, but 13 years, what? $330 million, something
that's
like that?
That's also 5 years ago.
I understand.
Things change.
But what, to double up?
No, I'm not saying that it should,
And by the way, it's not going to, like, I think this is just another rare circumstance. You'll see what the other guys get. That's more telling of the market, whether it is Blake Snell
or Torres,
Corbin Burns, Gleyber Torres, Pete Alonso. Like, Gleyber Torres, you could argue, is one of the best second base options. He's not going to get.
You realize that
who would
we
pay Gleyber $20 million a year?
No, neither would I. You realize that we are probably 3 to 4, maybe 5 years away from guys in the NBA making $100 million a year? Damian Lillard in a couple of years, I brought this up on the show, and we were talking about maybe the Knicks trading for Giannis. That was something we touched the other day. And he's making like $68 million in 2 years, and he's basically he's not done, but he's nowhere near the same player. So, you know, take somebody like Tatum or take somebody like Wembanyama, or, you know, Wemby, somebody like that that's young, and, you know, Wemby's really young. Somebody like that, dude, they're going to be making $110, $12, $15 a year.
I don't know how you could continue to justify that and sustain it.
I can't justify it, and I don't think it can sustain itself. Only difference would be if people, like in the NBA with 20,000 seats, if you win, because it's not a 50,000 seat venue and there's only 41 home games, you could probably get enough people to show up. But no, there's no relatability. It's sad. It really is sad.
Now, time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, there we are. Back in the groove here with the Bold Face Truth, Bold Face Lie. Caught me off guard. BT and I were just talking with our headphones off, so I had no idea it was coming back. All right, Hoff, what do you got for us this week?
Oh, that's right. Me
week?
Too. I forgot. I like the song. I didn't get to do it.
Yeah,
bam, bam, bam,
bam.
Thank you.
Heads up, guys.
Yeah.
More lies or?
There's a lot of lies. Yeah, we'll find out.
Okay.
All right, Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth. Start this off with BT. Yankees will make the first major splash of this offseason.
I'm going to say Bold Face Lie. I don't think that they're going to. Bold Face Lie. I think that the Giants, one of these desperate teams that have been trying to spend some money for a while, will go bonkers at the outset, and they'll land somebody who probably won't make much of a difference at the end of the day. But I'm going to say bold-faced lie. I think the Yankees will be prudent and eventually pounce when they need to.
I'm going to say bold-faced lie, too. And I say that because I think if they were bringing back Soto, it would be the truth. But since I think the Mets are getting Soto, by the way, I would assume Soto, I know the thought process, this could drag out. No, I'm not buying that. I'm going to ignore what everybody's saying, the people who are well-connected, unlike me. I'm not, but I'm going to use some common sense here. Soto's the key piece to what every other team in the league is going to be doing. So I would think that that's got to be in place sooner than later, maybe at the winter meetings as opposed to the GM meetings early December, a deal gets done. But I don't think, I'm going to say it's a bold-faced lie, the Yankees will not make the first big splash of the offseason.
Okay, well, let's move on to the Knicks now. Sal, Knicks have a better chance to win the Emirates NBA Cup than the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's the in-season tournament thing?
Yes. Yeah. That has a name to it.
When does that start? Do you know?
Soon. I think it was December 12th, last year, right?
The 12th is the first game.
Of November?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Jeez. Do you care about that?
I couldn't care less. I did watch last year because right. I love basketball. I love the Knicks. But no, if they win, it doesn't do anything for me.
Right. But Zero. What I will say is, even though that's my gut instinct and who cares about this stupid made-up thing, I do care more about it. Not like me wanting to care, but I just naturally okay, this is a tournament game. You watch it a little differently. I don't know why.
Well, the courts
I care.
Are different. I mean, it's presented a little differently, which I don't mind trying to spruce up a rather lengthy season. But
I know. I don't like it. I hate the idea of it. I don't want to care more about it, but I do care more about it. I don't think it means anything. I do think, unfortunately, that is a bald-faced truth. The Knicks have a better chance at winning that than they do, without knowing much about it, like who they play or whatever. But the winning the East is going to be very difficult with the Celtics.
It's going to be very tough. Now, just what's it called again? The cup?
The Emirates. Emirates, yeah.
I can promise you one thing. If the Knicks get to, say, the championship and lose in the cup final, their fans will not be calling for a parade.
The Mets fan. Oh, yeah, okay.
Was trying to get together on.
Did the Yankeeography start today on we won a game in the World Series?
Yeah.
And when is that airing?
Hey, listen, dude.
Final one. Speaking of
the blooper reel's out.
Speaking of more parades, Mike Williams got traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers, as we know. BT, Mike Williams will face a former team this upcoming playoff season.
I'd probably say bald-faced truth because I'm pretty sure the Chargers will find a way to get there. Well, I mean, listen, I got you. I got a couple problems with this, and it's a smaller level move, but I don't really think that it is. Like, not that they got rid of him. But Lazard's not coming back for 3 weeks, maybe even four, with the chest injury. He's on the IR, right? So they're going into these last, and I know that the timing is what it is. It's not like they can say, hey, can we just see where we are in 2 weeks, and maybe if we want to make a trade, can you give us a pat? No, you've got to make a trade before the deadline, and they did. But they made a trade to a team that very well, now the Jets have to win a ton of games, but would be in their way for a playoff spot, number one. Number two, you've got to beat Arizona. You've got to beat the Colts. You've got to win these next few games when Lazard's not there. Not that I love Lazard, but he's certainly capable with Rodgers at least. So you go into this must-win stretch with two receivers. Now, granted, they're awesome in Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson, but Gibson's now your third receiver in games you have to win. So I just had to get that off my chest. Yes, I do think there's a good chance, bald-faced truth, that they do play the Chargers or the Jets.
Yeah. I'm going to say bald-faced, not the Jets. Unfortunately, I don't think the Jets are going to win this week. I know we could dissect that more.
Do you have to say that
now? I'm just telling you my gut feel. I know. We'll discuss it later. So I don't think it's going to be the Jets. I mean, look, could he face the Chargers? Who the hell knows? I don't think the Steelers. I love the coach, and I respect the way they do things. We talked about this yesterday with Baldy. I don't look at the Steelers as a legitimate threat yet. I think Williams will help them. I think Williams would be better off in Pittsburgh. Steelers will be use him better than the Jets were using him.
I agree.
I'm with you to a certain extent. Like, you were in all the way anyway. Like, what could the fifth-round pick going to do at this point? Wouldn't you rather have the player? I just don't think that they love the fit. Maybe in particular Aaron Rodgers didn't love the fit.
Bingo.
Of Mike Williams. I got a bad feeling about this week with the Jets. I think the run ends, unfortunately. I want them to win so bad to extend it because I do think they'll beat the Colts at home.
Mm-hmm.
Then that gets us to the bye week. If the Jets win this week, that gives us another three
weeks.
Oh,
that's huge.
Yeah, at least. It gives us another 3 weeks of Jets potentially salvaging their season. Unfortunately, I think it ends this week.
What do you think the spread is? Have you looked yet?
Yeah, I just saw, I think it was Costello, the Post tweet about it, that it's even, right now?
I am actually checking because I'm not even 100% sure myself. Hold on. I saw -1, I thought, earlier. Now it's a pick 'em. Yeah?
Yeah.
You better pick the right one. Sounds like you picked the wrong one.
Yeah, I just...
I'm going the other way.
Yeah, I'm going with shocker.
Not much of a choice at this point. Hey, by the way, the Unkillable Pod launches tonight. We have episode 5 tonight.
There you go. Let's check go it Jets. Out. By the way, you have been on fire with your picks. Except for the Jets.
I know.
You've got one Achilles heel.
The heart always gets in the way.
The damn Jets game.
The heart always gets in the way.
All right, BT and Sal, the fan, we'll come back with your calls, 888-808-1019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.